James chapter number 4 will be our text. As we were singing that song, the Lord brought to my mind a passage in the book of Psalm. Let's begin in the book of Psalm. The message will be in James chapter number 4, but beginning in the book of Psalm. As we're turning over there, I'll give you the chapter in just a moment. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. There's all sorts of passages in God's word that shares this with us and instructs this and teaches us this. Psalm 90 is a powerful passage. And this morning, may the Lord help us to understand the brevity and the frailty and the reality of life. James 4 will certainly emphasize that, and we'll get to that in a moment. This is the message that God has for us, and I pray that we'd be attentive to the truth that we can glean from God's words, we can grow in the knowledge of Christ and in grace. May this transform us. I pray that God will use these truths to shake every single one of us to the core. Are you listening? For God to help us to be mindful, not of the temporal or the physical. All things need their place, but what should be preeminent is the eternal, the spiritual, the work of God. James 4 will be our text, but we're now in Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we what? Fly away." Those of us who are saved, I pray that every single person in this room knows for certainty that they are born again, that they're a child of God, that one day when you pass from this realm of existence and you go into the next, you go from this life and you go into eternity, that heaven is your home. There's no doubt about that. There's no concern about that. You're absolutely convinced because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've claimed the promise of God, and there by faith, you're accepting Him into your heart as your Savior, knowing that He's washed your sins away. And as I read in my Bible this morning, how that He cried with a loud voice on the cross, "It is finished." He paid for my sins in full. I know that I'm saved and a child of the King. But the Bible says something very soberly here. While we're here upon this earth and while we have this life, the Bible says, "Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow." This word strength is talking about times of triumph, if you will, and the hallelujah moments of life, and we all have those, amen? The mountaintop experiences, and wow, it's just exciting, and we're soaring, and we're thriving, and man, it's just so powerful, and look at all that God is doing in this great victory. Times of triumph, hallelujah moments, there will be strength. But then God says there will be times of labor. 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 Labor is not just work. Rather, it's working to the point of exhaustion. Physical and even financial and emotional, just exhaustion. We sang that song this morning, "It's Not in Vain." My wife and I love that song. We have it on one of our albums out there. And it's so powerful to reflect upon the truth of what is recorded so clearly in 1 Corinthians 15:58, where God encourages His people and He says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why? "For as much as you know that your labor is what? Not in vain." It's not pointless. It's not hollow. It's not good for nothing. It's not busy work or empty, accomplishing nothing. But God is literally using it to influence eternity. God is literally using it to impact those around you, to make a difference and to leave a mark for Christ upon this generation. And I presume that every person in this room craves that and hungers for that, for God to use them to the maximum while here upon this earth. If that's not the case, I pray that you take a long look within your heart and say, "God, help my priorities to be right." We'll see more of that in James 4 as we'll get some nuts and bolts and some bottom shelf application of living life and the kind of mindset that we should have as we understand the frailty and the brevity and the reality of life, that we would not go through the motions, that we would not play games, that we would not be careless or carefree with the existence, the gift of life that God has given us, but we would be very cognizant, vigilant, and aware, desiring to make the most of every moment that God has given us. But God is teaching us here. Do you have a teachable spirit this morning? Are you letting God speak to you? God is trying to help us understand that there are times of strength or times of triumph. There's hallelujah moments, but there's also labor or times of toil. There's going to be some hard moments. It's going to take some day in, day out consistency to not throw in the towel, to not quit, to not give up. And you're in the trenches, and man, you got your sleeves rolled up. Listen, God encourages us. Understand. Listen, don't be weary in that well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I don't know when the season will be due, but in God's timing, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Just give it to God. Amen. And may the Lord give me the strength. I don't know about you, but I need it. And all of us guys, we put our britches on the same way. Amen. Just because he's the pastor, and God bless him, just because we have faculty and people, I'm an evangelist, doesn't mean that these things come easier to us. Absolutely not. Every single one of us, listen, it is toil, it's labor, it's gonna take sweat, blood, and tears, and may God give us the conviction, and may God give us the courage, and may God give us the character to go forward and to not throw in the towel and to not quit. And when there are hard moments, as the old statement goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And praise the Lord, we can fall back upon the precious principle and promise, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph. That's a blessing. And we're not trying to figure this thing out on our own. Yes, you need to be engaged, you need to be involved, and you need to be spent and give every ounce of you. But understanding that ultimately it's God working through you. And there will be times and there are seasons in life, are there not? And may the Lord, and we're referencing even as God is, I believe, seeking to dovetail the truth from Thursday even to this morning, that God would help us to understand in life there are times of triumph, times of toil. There's hallelujah moments, there's hard moments, but also it says, continuing in verse number 10, would you look at it there? It says, there is strength, labor, and what? Well, it just gets gooder and gooder. It's like, well, this is real positive preaching. Thanks a lot. Now, God in his love is trying to help us understand that there's going to be heavy moments, times of trouble, trials and tribulations, and praise the Lord that we can have that testimony like Paul as Thursday night. And listen, this is not me manipulating. I was planning to preach something else. God blindsided me with all these things here early this morning as I was having my devotions, and God said, preach this. I said, yes, sir. God says, man, go to that text in Psalm 90 before you get into the application of James 4. I'm saying, yes, sir, and I pray this is helping you as much as it's encouraging me, and all that we would understand. God very sincerely is trying to help us to understand there will be heavy moments. Unbearable times. It's not easy, but thank the Lord, if we may, reference from Thursday night again, casting all our care upon him. He careth for you. What a blessing that we don't have to try to figure this thing out on our own and sustain ourselves, but it's God and his grace and his strength that sustains. And God will help us and God will enable us. And it says in this verse number 10 very quickly, if you follow along, there's strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. That certainly is life. Keep that phrase in the back of your mind as we'll see that correlate with James 4. It is soon cut off. Verse number 12, notice how that his heart is so pressed in this area, and you can see what he desires. Verse number 12, may this be our desire. So, God, because I know that life is brief, and the frailty and brevity thereof, the reality of life with the triumph and the toil and the troubles and the hallelujah times and the hard times and the heavy times. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what? Wisdom. To not make foolish decisions, not just live life by the seat of my pants, whatever the expression you want to use is there, but rather awareness, cognizant, we're going to do this because God has taught me to do this. God is leading us to do this. By the way, God will never lead you in your life to do something that contradicts his word. There's great comfort in that. So teach us to number or to count our days, to make most of each moment that we may apply. And just by him sharing this and him praying this and him calling out this and crying out this to God that he desires this, you can see there that he has this hungering and craving for it. And I pray that every single one of us, every single morning when we get up, as we realize that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, we don't even know if we're going to make it today. We wake up in the morning and we cry out, oh God, oh help me not to do that which is right in my own eyes. Oh God, help me not to try to figure things out my own and go forward in the functioning of my flesh. But God, teach me to number my days, to count, make everything count for thee, taking advantage and making much of each moment. I pray that there's a humility in our life. I pray that there's a hungering in our life. I pray that in our life there's a desire for what the Lord has for us, to pursue the pathway of the holy, if you will, and to live the life that God would have for us. Now, with this in mind, would you jump with me to James 4? James 4 is one of those passages that teach us how to number our days. James chapter number 4, are you minding the Lord this morning? Would you say amen? James 4, may God teach us. May God help us. May God strengthen us. Father, we need your touch desperately. Lord, thank you for how the choir has ministered unto us and the joy that we've had to be able to sing songs together as a church family. Lord, I pray that you've anointed the special music, that it was an encouragement as we sought to magnify you and sing those things unto thee. Now, Father, we're here with humble hearts. We come before you, Lord, hungry, desiring to be fed. I pray that you give us the sustenance and the strength that we need. Lord, I don't know why you'd have me to preach this message, but Father, I don't want to get in the way of anything. I pray that your spirit would prevail with great liberty, that your word would have free course. We pray for fresh fire and anointing of the power of God. Help us, Lord, and I pray that you would help sincerity and soberness settle on this room. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would mold us more into thy image. In your name we pray, amen. James 4, are you there? Would you say amen? James 4, across the room, God bless you. Oh, God bless you, church. I'm thankful that we can open up the Bible and glean from the Bible. Amen? Oh, it's wonderful. James 4, verse number 13, jumping right into it. James 4, 13, he says, go to what? Now. Kind of sounds like I need to stop procrastinating. Well, you're going off the deep end real quick. May God help us not be, one day, I'll get around to that kind of Christian. Switch those words around, amen? But rather, may we be day one Christians. Day one Christians. Now is the time, now is the time. And I suppose this is a truth that we can glean from this. Would you jot it down if you'd like to take notes here this morning? How can God teach us to number our days, to have lives and moments and experiences that count for Christ, making much of what God has given unto us? Number one, don't put off in doing what ought to be done today. I understand, I'll repeat the point in a moment, but I understand that there are things that happen. We strive to have a schedule. We want all things to be done decently and in order. We want things not just to be cattywampus, you know, and just carefree, and there's no schedule or agenda and things, and we want there to be structure, and God is honored with that. And I know that there are things that we have on the list that we don't get to each day. And sometimes things on that daily list shift around and go to the next and go to the next. But may the Lord help us to be very sensitive and surrendered, to let God be in control of the schedule and let God lead us, and that we accomplish what God would have us to do. But I understand things shift as we mind the Lord and we're sensitive to the leadership of God in our lives. But ultimately, may God help us to not have a procrastinating spirit. It's not biblical and it's not godly. Now, there are times when God wants us to wait. That's different from procrastinating. God says, just hold on. Just rest. Just be patient. That's a whole other message for a separate time. I'm encouraged. Book of James talks about that in James 1. Let patience have her perfect work. Don't rush ahead of God. Let God be God. We'll see more of that in this text. Some nuts and bolts application for God teaching us to number our days. But many times what happens in Christians' lives is that God's not waiting around. God's ready to go forward, but we're the ones being lazy. We're the ones at ease upon our lees. We're the ones sitting on our hands, and we're the ones that are leaving things open-ended, and we've lost the passion, we've lost the drive, we've lost the intensity. I know God made us all different. I'm not talking about some cookie-cutter emotionalism or spirit. Listen, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. But there should be, you could be quieter than a church mouse, but there should be down deep in your heart a fire for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not swinging from the chandeliers and doing something crazy, but man, in your heart, it's beating fast, and there might just be a little breakthrough where you're like, amen. Yeah. There's a fire burning down deep in your heart, and there's something red hot in your life. Don't put off in doing what ought to be done today. Go to now, God says. Go to now, not 10 years from now, not when you feel like it, but now. For now it is high time, the Bible says, to awake out of sleep. Have you left things open-ended in your life, unfinished, unresolved, unforgiven? Broken relationships, a broken friendship, a neighbor not reached, a coworker not witnessed to. Is there bitterness that's controlling you and consuming you that needs to be taken care of? Are you at odds with your spouse? Are you at odds with your parents? Are you at odds with your child? Are you at odds with a sibling? Are you at odds with one another? Oh, church, may we not put off doing what needs to be done today. Not one day, but day one. A going forward. Rising up out of our apathy. Rising up out of our lethargy and our complacency. And may God help us to revolt against procrastination and dead works and all this kind of stuff and ritualism and formalism. And may God give us a heart that's on fire to say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Not, well, I'm going to go, whatever comes my way. No, God, what is it? What is it? What is it? Come on. There, it's like my wife and I, we were driving down to the college here Friday. Remember we were there and there was that lady at the corner house and the dog, it was like early in the morning. And you remember what I'm talking about? And the dog, man, it was ready to go on the leash. And literally that dog was walking the woman. And she's like this the whole way. And it wasn't a big dog, but man, I mean, there was not an ounce of fat on that beast. It's like, you know, and that should be us. Oh, and what is it that you got? Amen. Dragging that old flesh to follow Christ and dragging whatever it is that may be besetting your life, not giving place to it, but it is wrestled into submission and subjection. And we're going forward for Jesus Christ. We need this desperately in America today. Don't put off what needs to be done today. If there's something in your life in which you're guilty of that, I'm thinking through things in my mind even right now. Would you ask God for a plan of action? Would you ask God for an open door of utterance to accomplish and to fulfill these things that must be done? Don't wait. This afternoon, you're going to have plenty of time between the morning service and the afternoon or the evening service. Make that phone call. Make it. It's going to be awkward, I know. Pray for wisdom and guidance. Of course, the peace of God. Don't rush ahead of God. But many times, God's the one waiting on us. And may we not tarry, but that we would go to now and run forward for Jesus Christ. That is what God is looking for in the lives of his people. But also, would you look quickly, much more could be said, but look quickly, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Can't you sense how matter of fact they are? It's almost like a spirit of belligerence. This is what I'm going to do, and this is how long I'm going to be there, and this is what I'm going to accomplish in my life. And I'm going to come out the other side, and this to the nth degree is what is going to take place. Teach us to number our days. Lord, what would you have me to do? The Bible is seeking to exhort us here this morning. Secondly, don't presume to know the future. Let God be in control. Don't presume to know the future. Let God be in control. We're going to go here. We're going to live there. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to come out with dividends, and everything is going to be great, and we're going to be very successful. I know this. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. What? Excuse you. Excuse me. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to take place. I mean, and God forbid, but someone here in this room could suffer a heart attack and go to heaven. From the middle of nowhere, one of those Teslas with that mode, whatever that is, it's exhilarating. If you've never experienced it, I experienced that on Thursday, and he did it multiple times, and I'm like, yes, let's do it again. But one of those crazy guys strung up on drugs, something like that, you never know, because that's the kind of people that drive Teslas. No, just joking. But no. Where did that come from? Wow. What in the world just happened? But man, paying no attention and coming out of nowhere, and you're just trying to drive along the way, and you get into an accident. That happened to me 2 years ago. And two men underneath the influence of something, and I was minding my own business, driving in the right-hand lane, hands on the wheel, position of 10 and 2, driving a 15-passenger vehicle, going down the highway. I mean, cruise control set. I'm not road raging, not doing anything, that kind of stuff. Getting rear-ended, going 75 miles an hour down the road, going north. Out of Dallas, up through Texas, I was by myself, praise God for that. The vehicle totaled, should have died. Walking out in less than 30 seconds, praise the Lord, without a scratch. It wasn't God's time for me to go to heaven. But listen, that night when I got into that vehicle, driving home from that revival meeting, I had no clue that that was going to happen. We have visions and goals and ambitions and desires and designs and all that kind of stuff, but we need to pray, Lord, take what's within my heart, take it out. Rip it out! Oh God, take what's on your heart and infuse it within mine. God, help me to do what you would have me to do. I don't know the future, but you know what's coming down the pike. And Father, help me to not be so matter of fact. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not when a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse number 1. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how talented you think you may be. It doesn't matter how healthy you might be. You can still receive a phone call that your body is racked with cancer. And sometimes even the most fit of people are gone within a matter of months because they had no idea that their body was consumed with an illness. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are, wealth has a mind of its own. It's here, then it can be gone, the Bible teaches. Everything and anything could change in a moment. May we not be so belligerent in a matter-of-fact spirit, but may we be yielded to the Lord and truly surrendered. Not living life by the hip and throwing caution to the wind. No. Things need to be in the balance, and I presume that you understand that, and those things do not need to be articulated. You're using your mind this morning. But throughout it all, that as we move forward with our schedules and we move forward with what needs to be accomplished, and as we desire to not procrastinate but be passionate in what God would have for us in the moments and the opportunities of life, that through it, our heart is yielded and surrendered, saying, God, you have complete authority to rewrite my schedule for today. Whatever you want to do, let it be done. And as we go forward, to not presume to know the future, but let God be in control. It's hard for businessmen to have a yielded spirit. It's hard for Americans to have a mind that thinks like this. It's true. We've been surrounded with so much prosperity. We really have been. You're familiar with it. Go overseas. A man is a skilled mason worker, a man, beautiful, mind-blowing work, and he's earning but $5 American a day for back-breaking labor, 10 to 12 hours a day. $5. At least that's what it was when I went to the Philippines a handful of years ago. Still, pocket change, one gallon of gas. One drink from Starbucks. Not even thinking twice about it, just spending the money. It's hard for us to be surrendered. It's hard for us to be yielded. And whether you have much or you have little, that should be irrelevant. My heart should always be submissive and surrendered under the authority of God. Not be going forward so belligerent, so pig-headed, hard-hearted. Let God lead you in your life. God is trying to teach us to number our days. In verse number 14, would you look at it? The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I scrambled right before the service to go grab the purple hairspray out of the vehicle. Instant freeze hairspray. 24-hour extreme hold. This is good stuff. Maybe I should. You don't need it. You're good. Man. And I want to be careful. I don't want to just spray this stuff all over the place, but just for emphasis, I guess that's the lighting. Are we okay? Okay, on the carpet. But I don't know if you'll be able to see this, but just watch. You see that? No? A few of you in the back, just one more time. So our lives, that's you. You get so wrapped up in me and this and that and the other. Some of our bursts of vapor are shorter than others. Some of them are longer. I had the joy of meeting the last surviving individual that was at a Billy Sunday crusade. He was over 100 years old. Different story for a different time. But his burst was a lot longer than some that I know of that are my own age that passed away because of COVID and things. I don't know when it's my time to go home. May the Lord help me understand, though, that my life is that it's there. I can still see it as I look into the light, but now it's gone. I can't see it anymore. Some of you in the back couldn't even see it. We get so consumed about
me and mine and this and that and the other, about my life and my existence and my work and my job and my savings and my stuff. When God says, look, understand, get it in your thick skull, that my life is, then it's gone. The Bible said in Psalm 90 that it's there, but then it's soon cut off. And then we fly away. I believe that, of course, out of the gate with this truth that the Lord needs to help us to understand this. Number three, don't gamble with eternity. Don't gamble with eternity. There'll be more exhortation from this passage in a moment, but this is the first one that needs to be understood. My life is here, then it's gone. I'm concerned. I'll just jump into this. I'm concerned as God presses it on me. I'm concerned that there are a lot of young people that have a cultural identity with Jesus Christ, but not a personal relationship with the Lord. They've grown up in a Christian home like I did, like my wife did, and they grow up knowing about the things of God, and they, before they can even understand what salvation is, they're memorizing John 3:16 and all this kind of stuff, and it's just their upbringing and the home life and the school life and the church life, and everything is revolving around Jesus, and there's a culture that identifies with the Lord, but it's not here. And supposedly, they get saved when they're a certain age. I know children get saved when they're young. My wife got saved when she was 4, and she remembers that, and she's not doubted it since. But there are some people like me who got saved as a young boy. I don't even know, 4 or 5, somewhere in there, but had no understanding, had no recollection, had no memory of my experience when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And yes, salvation is an experience. When I meet the Lord and God saves me, God washes my sin away, it's an experience. And don't dodge the word, because it truly is. It's the most important experience in your life when you become a child of the King. There are many, I'm concerned, that grow up in Christian homes and supposedly they get saved at a younger age, but they have no memory of that. Listen, if I could just mention this, if we could somehow travel into your mind, could you bring us back to the memory of when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I'm not saying if you remember the date. I'm not saying if you remember the address or this or that or the other. I wouldn't even know the date unless my mom had written it down, but I could, if my brother here could, Brother Moses, amen? If he could go into my mind with me, which we know that technology is not possible, or if I was to somehow get tied up to a screen, I could show you the recollection of what I had when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I understand an experience is not what's saving me. It's Jesus that's saving me. But I'm not taking dice of eternity and just gambling, saying, yeah, I suppose I did that when I was a kid. I think I'm okay. 50-50 chance I'm good. My parents said I did it. Wait a second. It's not you and your parents standing before the Lord someday. It's you. And why in the world should we go through existence and gamble with salvation? It's foolish. It just doesn't make sense to me. If there's anybody in this room that's struggling with their salvation, does not remember the time when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I beg you, I will get on my knees in all sincerity, and I mean this, I'm not joking around, I'm not being foolish, I beg of you to put your faith and trust in the Lord before it's too late. You are one heartbeat away from going into eternity, and there is no second chances. A millisecond after you draw your final breath and your heart stops beating, there's no turning back. And the Bible says that every single soul that's not saved, hell is beneath thee, moved to meet thee at thy coming. Every single step you step and you walk on this earth, hell is literally underneath you like an open mouthed monster. That's Bible. I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning. May the fear of God constrain us and compel us, and understanding the chair of the Lord, we're going to persuade men. And hey, I'm not here to get you to doubt your salvation, but I'm here asking and I'm questioning. Do you know that you're saved? Are you gambling with eternity? You know, someone who's truly saved, there might be slight hesitation. They're trying to figure out where to start the testimony, you know? Do I give you the condensed version, the long version? But they know they're saved. They're, boom. Somebody that's genuinely saved, absolutely, yeah. They know it. There's a confidence there, not in themselves, but in Christ. don't gamble with eternity. And oh, that God would burn our hearts to reach a lost and dying world, to help them see of Jesus before it's too late. And may God, number four, help us to put things in a proper perspective. Don't gamble with eternity, but number four, put things in a proper perspective. A question is asked that needs to be asked. What is your life? This is a very comforting question. It's convicting, but it's comforting. What is your life? Well, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not a mistake or an accident or a whoops. We preached it Thursday night. My life has purpose and potential in Christ. What is your life? You're special to God. You're significant to God. Every person has purpose. You are special and you're significant, but you're specific too. There's only one of you. We all joke, well, I'm glad they broke the mold. There's not two Caleb Garaways walking around. I don't got a clone anywhere. And even those that are identical twins, fearfully and wonderfully made. Wasn't like God made a mistake and put duplicates. No, it's perfect. It's exactly what God designed. And I pray this morning that you would let God's encouragement wash over your heart, understanding, God wants to use me. And Lord, help me to put things in a proper perspective. That my life is a vapor, but it matters to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to make much of this vapor. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, that you'd help me to be focused on the eternal and not the temporal. And God, that you'd help me with however many days I may have to reach that potential that you've got for my life. I don't want to miss out on anything. May God compel us and God encourage us in this. In conclusion here this morning, we see in verse number 15, it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Again, emphasizing that point of always being surrendered to the Lord, letting God be in control, letting God lead. Verse number 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. I'm concerned that many of us, if we're not careful, because we have good paying jobs and we've got nice homes and we've got a lot of things, and praise the Lord for that, but it's God who's the one who gives you wealth. The Bible teaches that. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above. May the Lord help us to not brag or boast thinking that we've accomplished this, but rather that we would understand that such rejoicing in our flesh is evil. Number five, don't promote your own temporal successes. Give God the glory. Say, God is the one who's blessed me with this job, and God is the one who's given me a good career, and God is the one always pointing it to Jesus Christ. May he be magnified through our lives. And number six, and lastly, in verse number 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Number six, and lastly, and we're past the time by a minute. We need to end. We need to hit the altar. We need to seek the Lord. Do we need to seek the Lord this morning? Do we need, oh God, help me, teach me, teach me. Help me to make much of the moments of my life. Number six, don't play around with doing what's right. It's only going to cost you the fullness of God's blessings. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Don't play around. You know what's right, do it. Don't doubt, don't deviate, do it. The Bible teaches us, we understand it, we submit ourselves to it, we're going to follow it. We're not going to argue with God. And we know it's right, but we refuse to do it. It's wrong, the Bible says. I conclude with a verse. Jeremiah 5:25. This is the last thing that we'll read and we'll be done. Jeremiah 5:25. There's so much that could be preached on this. You understand that. I just pray that God's word will preach and the Holy Spirit of God will speak and encourage. It's not about a man saying a certain statement. It's about God having his way to work. Jeremiah 5:25. The Bible says your iniquities. What's iniquity? It's sin. Specifically, it's someone who understands the difference between right and wrong. Ignoring what should be done, which is right, and going ahead and doing what's wrong. Iniquity. That's iniquity. Man that knoweth to do good doeth it not. To him it is sin. It's iniquity. And God says very plainly, your iniquities, because you're not doing right. Your iniquities have turned away these things. and your sins have withholden good things from you. Sure, go ahead, do it. Whatever, I can't live for you. You're your own person. But you're missing out. And while I have a life that's but a vapor, I don't want to miss out on the fullness of what God has for this moment. Sin is not worth it. Saying, I'm not going to do it. I know it should be done, but I'm not going to do it. And just standing idly by, the sin of idleness, it's wicked. And God says that has held back heaven from your home and your life. God, help us this morning to have hearts that pursue Christ. No turning back, no turning back. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Church, let's live for Jesus Christ and make much of this vapor that God has given us, saying no to sin and the flesh and the world and the devil, and saying yes to our Lord daily. Father, I pray that you use these truths to encourage us. Lord, we lingered in certain places and blew through other points, but Father, I've sought to be very sensitive to you. You know exactly what needs to be highlighted, what needs to be emphasized. I pray that your word has had free course, your spirit has had great power in our hearts, great liberty among us. Even those joining by way of live stream, Father, that you would have done an encouraging work in their life, a strengthening work, Lord, an edifying work, building them up, Father, to make much and the most of each moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I wonder if there's someone who would say, Brother Garraway, you're talking about not gambling with eternity. Preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. I want to know that. I want to get that settled, but I'm struggling with that. I don't know that. May I pray for you? Is there one like that? Would you lift your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, but is there one? Could I pray for you, Brother Garraway? I'm not saved. Is there one who would say, Brother Garraway, God encouraged me with this message. I needed this. This refreshed me. This recentered me as we're launching forward in a new year to make sure that my life matters and the Lord is helping me make most of each moment. There were things that God spoke to my heart about in this message. I needed this. God has revived me. That's me. Would you raise your hand high over your head, high over your head, all across the room? Many, many people. I pray that you'll respond to the Lord as he's spoken to you. A little different, but Pastor, I'd like for you to come and conduct the invitation as the shepherd here this morning. Would you do business with God here in just a moment, Pastor?